This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday, stepping in for his predecessor, James Comey. Comey was fired earlier this week by Donald Trump in what has become the most serious political scandal to rock the White House so far. Director Comey had been in the news before his firing when Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton asserted that his improper public statements last October threw the election in favor of Trump. But when Comey publicly confirmed the FBI's investigation into Russian interference in the U.S. election this March, that's when Donald Trump's opinion of him apparently soured. Could Trump have fired Comey over his investigations of Trump and his colleagues? And will the Comey firing be Trump's undoing, as many are now claiming? In a minute, we'll turn to independent journalist Marcy Wheeler. But first, this is what Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chairman Senator Mark Warner, a Democrat from Virginia, had to say about Comey's firing.
The president's firing of FBI Director Comey Tuesday night was a shocking development. The timing of Director Comey's dismissal, to me and to many members on this committee on both sides of the aisle, is especially troubling. He was leading an active counterintelligence investigation into any links between the Trump campaign and the Russian government or its representatives, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts to interfere in our election. For many people, including myself, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that the president's decision to remove Director Comey was related to this investigation. And that is truly unacceptable. We were scheduled to hear directly from Director Comey today in open session. We and the American people were supposed to hear straight from the individual responsible for the FBI investigation.
And that was Senator Mark Warner, Vice Chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, speaking earlier this week about Comey's firing. We turn now to Marcy Wheeler. She's an independent journalist specializing in civil liberties, privacy, and the war on terror. She blogs at emptywheel.net and has been following this story. Welcome to the program, Marcy.
Good to be on, Sonali.
So first, let's talk about specifically what the official reason for the White House that the White House has given for Comey's firing. In a letter that was made public, Trump basically made it, it was a very short letter, and he even said, "I thank you for clarifying to me about the investigations." Boom, you're fired. How is the White House explaining this away?
Well, they keep changing their story, bits and pieces, yet proving again that they're incompetent on top of being horrible. But Trump, in the last hour and a half on a TV interview, said that he was determined he was going to fire Comey regardless of what Rod Rosenstein and Jeff Sessions said. But ultimately, so the alleged claim is that they fired Comey because he had lost credibility based on his handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation. But it's hard to come to any conclusion except that it's about the Russia investigation, especially since Trump raised that in his letter saying, thank you for telling me three times I'm not under investigation.
Right.
You know, there's no other credible explanation for it. And the rest is kind of lipstick on a pig, I guess.
And so we should make it really clear, because there's a lot of different investigations and different issues, some of which are a little unrelated, right? So there was the just earlier, before Comey was fired, he was back in the news talking about how he was mildly nauseous at Clinton's assertion that had Comey not spoken improperly about an investigation of her right before the election, that she would have won the election. But that is separate from the investigation that Comey admitted in March publicly that the FBI was doing, looking into the Trump administration and Russian interference into the election. These are two separate investigations, right?
Right. There's the Hillary investigation, and that's allegedly what Comey was fired over, that he is still explaining himself, whatever, almost 9 months after the inappropriate comments he made in July, And that's what, for example, Rod Rosenstein, who is Deputy Attorney General, that's what he talked about in a memo that basically said you need somebody else to have credibility. But as I said, in Trump's letter to Comey firing him, he also raised the Russian investigation and said, oh, thanks for telling me I'm not under investigation three times. There's been a ton of reporting saying that he expected Comey to tamp down on stories about the investigation, that that Comey should have gotten his testimony last week approved with DOJ before he gave it. But you keep coming back to the fact that Trump wants somebody who will say there's nothing to this Russian investigation, and nobody actually wants to say that. Everyone else is saying, yeah, there's some fire here.
And of course, in the middle of all of this is an ill-timed meeting that Trump is having now with Russian diplomats, including Sergei Kislyak, who is supposed to be at the person that Michael Flynn, who was fired by Trump, met with. And apparently this was a meeting that was closed to the media, but there was a Russian photographer present who tweeted, or it might have been the Russian government, tweeted the photos of Trump shaking hands with the very, among them, the very diplomats that are at the heart of this investigation. Bad timing for Trump, but people are kind of freaking out over it.
Well, and it's funny because at first that picture went out, and I'm like, well, at least the administration for once isn't hiding a contact with Sergei Kislyak. And by the end of, whatever the hour, I think our news cycles have turned into hour-long bulks. But by the end of the hour, the Trump administration was like, they fooled us. We had no idea this was going to happen. So, they're claiming that bringing in the state photographer into the Oval Office, they were fooled. They're claiming that the official release of the pictures fooled. It's hard to take them credibly anymore because they're not doing anything to protect themselves against the appearance of impropriety or against impropriety, but they do, keep getting themselves into these pickles where they look bad.
Now, back to Comey's firing. How unusual is it for a president to fire an FBI director?
Well, after Hoover, the FBI director position moved to a 10-year term so that they would span presidential administrations, so that they would, in an attempt to make them less political. William Sessions was fired by President Clinton for impropriety. There's no accusations of impropriety here. There's accusations that that Comey didn't handle the Clinton administration well. Robert Mueller was extended 2 years. So it really, in the modern era, the post-Hoover era, no one's been fired basically to try and undercut an investigation. And I think that's what this firing is going to be regarded as going forward. In fact, one of the funny things on Twitter is that the Nixon Library tweeted out a, historical fact. Nixon never fired an FBI director.
He did fire the head of the Watergate investigation, right, though?
He fired everyone else, but... Yeah.
And a lot of people are drawing parallels between Nixon and Trump because basically Nixon was so paranoid about the investigations of him. He didn't, he sort of almost didn't care about the political fallout, and it ended up being his undoing that he worked so hard to try to crush any investigation of him. And it just appears that Trump is kind of reliving that, shooting himself in the foot. Could Comey's firing be Trump's undoing? A lot of people are saying that this is the straw that's going to break the camel's back.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the underlying Russian investigation. I mean, they're still investigating. So we'll see what comes of that. But it is clear that, I keep reminding people as we talk about the Russian investigation, there are a number of different explanations. And one is that the Trump White House is just incompetent, that Trump was used to dealing with mobbed up Russians from being in the real estate industry, that he therefore, wasn't attuned enough to the risks of Russian spying, that he, runs his mouth, so on and so forth, that he didn't mean and hasn't compromised himself with Russian spies. But the more stuff like this goes on, the more that he refuses to fire Mike Flynn for 18 days while he's meeting with top, foreign diplomats. but does fire Comey basically on a day's whim. You know, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that he's engaged in a cover-up.
Sally Yates, who was also fired by Trump, acting attorney general, she was apparently, in earlier this week it came out that she told a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee that that Michael Flynn had lied to Mike Pence about his Russian contacts. She said, "You don't want your national security advisor compromised with the Russians," almost implying that Flynn was vulnerable to being blackmailed. So the Flynn investigation and how he was involved or what contacts he had with Russia, that is part of, that would, you would imagine, be part of what the FBI would be looking at, right?
Sure. And Yates also said, which is even more interesting, when she approached the White House to tell them that Flynn had lied about the content of his communications with Kislyak, the White House was like, "Why are you telling us this?" And she's like, "Well, we thought, you know, you'd want to know because that makes him vulnerable to blackmail." But she also said that the underlying conduct, meaning whatever he said to Kislyak, was problematic. So in other words, she's saying that Flynn's in trouble for multiple reasons. We've heard about the fact that he didn't disclose payments, that he didn't disclose a relationship working for Turkey, working for Russia. We've heard that he almost certainly lied to the FBI about what he said to Sergei Kislyak. He lied to Mike Pence. But given what Yates said in her testimony on Monday, there seems to be even one more thing going on with Mike Flynn. So
let's also talk about what Andrew McCabe, the acting FBI director who had to step in for Comey, said just this week at the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing. Those hearings would have actually featured Comey himself. McCabe had to step in. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons that the White House has given for Comey's firing was that he was unpopular with the rank and file at the FBI. McCabe saying that's not true. Will the Senate Intelligence Committee be able to ask the same questions of McCabe as they wanted to of Comey? And can they just simply bring Comey on even though he's been fired?
Well, the Comey's even more famous congressional testimony than any that we're talking about back in 2007 when he told about the conflict in John Ashcroft's hospital over Stellar Wind. Huh. That one he was subpoenaed. So if there was any question about whether or not Comey could testify to the Senate Intelligence Committee. And of course, you know, it's the Intelligence Committee, so there's not a question of classification. It won't be an open hearing at first. I would imagine that that Richard Burr could subpoena him and force him to testify. So there are ways to get him to testify, but they're gonna hear his side of the story. It might be a different question of whether or not we're all going to get this. You know, we may not get to see a replaying of the 2007 hearing where he very dramatically described himself running up hospital stairs. But, you know, the Senate Intelligence Committee presumably will hear from him.
And Richard Burr, being the Republican chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, is there enough Republican motivation here to continue these investigations of basically are trying to dig at what their president has done in this entire case? Is there enough building up of mistrust and also the party realizing that their credibility is at stake?
Well, not in all parts of the Republican Party, but in at least two pockets of it. There is Burr, and he said that he was concerned about the timing of the Comey firing. And his committee, so the Senate Intelligence Committee, 15 people, it's closer to 50-50 than other committees. Susan Collins is the swing vote from Maine. She's somewhat moderate and also fairly hawkish on Russia. Marco Rubio is on the committee, and he's incredibly hawkish on Russia. And so for those reasons, the Senate Intelligence Committee probably will have a reasonably credible investigation into the Russia stuff. And then the other corner, technically Monday's hearing was hosted by the subcommittee that Lindsey Graham is chair of. It wasn't the full Senate Judiciary Committee. And so Graham is very favorable to, he's a hawk again on Russia. And Sheldon Whitehouse, who is his ranking member, a hawk on Russia. And so that subcommittee presumably will continue to do things like call Sally Yates when the intelligence committees aren't doing it.
So at this point, what do you think the Democrats want from all of this as well, given their limited power? Do they have a clear path towards in this whole investigation? Because sadly, the Democrats seem to be taking the line that if it weren't for Russian interference, their candidate would be president today. You know, I think, of course, what the public is owed is simply a set of clear answers as to what happened and was there something nefarious that took place. And you know, can we rely on the Democrats to follow that clear line, or are they more just interested in saying, look, we lost, our candidate lost because of Russia?
And that, you know, there's the thing is the intelligence community is never going to say one way or another, because that would involve them tracking opinion domestically, and they're not supposed to do that. And they've said that repeatedly. And polls show that Jim Comey was a bigger impact. His October 28th letter that got leaked to the press was, you know, there's now some question as to whether that was as influential as people made up. But nevertheless, that's almost certainly a bigger impact on the election than the Russians. And, you know, there's the question. It's one thing to ask whether Hillary would win if she hadn't been hacked. It's another thing to ask whether Trump's existing relationship and the fact that he did, that the Russians did intervene to help him, it's another thing to ask whether he's compromised, whether the Russians can, for example, bring all their technical equipment into the Oval Office and have Trump kind of throw up his hands and go, oh my gosh, they fooled me. We're going to see more of that inability to really show a spine with the Russians. And the question is that the case because Trump has business interests with Russia? I mean, he's got business interests with everybody, but the relationship with Russia is slightly different than it is with some of his other funders. And the question becomes why? And the question becomes whether he no longer serves U.S. interests because he has gotten so chummy or so compromised by the Russians. And I, you know, I'm not sure that the Republicans are ever going to want to really interrogate that, but the more Trump covers up like this, I think the more likely we'll have the questions raised, at least.
Now, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal went to the media and said that Comey's firing could lead to impeachment proceedings. What do you think of that?
I think it's possible. I mean, look, you know, not only does the firing look like a cover-up, it looks like an incompetent fire-up. I think there is a real question whether Trump doesn't care whether the government runs or not. And so there's a real question whether Democrats are going to be able to obstruct enough to demand some kind of change, whether, how significant was Trump's misconduct, basically, in firing Comey. It looks worse and worse. He went on an interview and just ran his mouth and made it look, you know, worse and worse. And I guess, you know, part of it is what's going to come of, you know, it's clear that FBI is actively investigating Mike Flynn. What happens if Mike Flynn gets charged and DOJ says, hey, we're willing to give you a plea agreement if you agree to cooperate with us on the other compromises in the White House? You know, that's when you might see impeachment. But I think Democrats should focus on the integrity of the investigation rather than immediately calling for impeachment, because it makes it a lot harder for Republicans to cooperate with them. And the other thing is that, you know, the Russia stuff is important, but Democrats also need to be beating Republicans on policy issues, on healthcare, on the environment, on, you know, Muslim bans, on the census. The guy in charge of the census just quit because they're not funding it for 2020. On voting rights, Trump is rolling out a voter suppression effort led by this horrible guy from Kansas. So those are all issues that Democrats need to keep at the forefront. They're in a good position to turn over a lot of seats, if not win a majority in the House in 2018. And they should focus on politics as well as on impeachment, because they, you know, that's how we win. That's what democracy is about, is winning in politics as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The new polls released today, this week, show Trump at even lower approval ratings, even among his own sort of supporters. White voters are now peeling off as well. And then just finally, Marcy, just to end up our conversation or tie up our conversation around the FBI investigation, a grand jury has been convened and subpoenas have been issued. So what lies in the future of this investigation, assuming Andrew McCabe will lead it, unless he too gets fired by Trump?
Well, you know, those subpoenas, by reporting, appear to be focused on Mike Flynn, and there are a number of things that it is quite clear FBI is investigating Mike Flynn for. So we will see whether that focus turns into a wider focus on other Trump officials. McCabe is running the FBI side of it. The only U.S. attorney in the country is a guy by the name of Dana Bunte, who is the U.S. attorney for Eastern District of Virginia, and so he's still on the job, too. He is a fairly aggressive prosecutor, so, you know, we could do worse having some assistant U.S. attorney without as much power as Dana Bente has. But Bente is also the acting National Security Division head at DOJ right now, or will be shortly. So we'll see what the prosecutorial side of the investigation does. But it's in trouble. It's clear that Trump is trying to undermine it. I guess the question is what Dana Bente is going to do, what Rob Rosenstein, who's the Deputy Attorney General, who thus far has refused to appoint a special counsel, what McCabe has done. There's actually parts of the investigation in other parts of the country. They might, you know, quietly be getting their job done while everyone else is running around with their heads cut off. So, it's a skeleton staff already. Trump keeps firing people. There is reason to be skeptical, and there is reason to demand more independence. But there's also reason to believe that Dana Bunte is an aggressive prosecutor and will continue being an aggressive prosecutor.
Well, Marcy, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us and lending your expertise with us. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Sunil.
Marcy Wheeler is an independent journalist specializing in civil liberties, privacy, and the war on terror. She blogs at emptywheel.net. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.